world, yourself, New Zealand, South Africa. We've got some South Africans that we can get on. America, we've got no Canadians, but then Canadians are extremely dull. I don't know what's up with. It's just me, my view. Canadians are just, I don't know, it's like they've had a complete humor bypass. I have no idea what's up. They're always incredibly
like a humor lobotomy?
God, they're just so boring. Yeah, they're incredibly sort of straight-faced and quite unanimated as people and just don't seem to have anything. They're not lively and fun. They're not cheeky. They don't have any cheek about them at all.
Do you find Germans a bit like that as well? I mean, I love German people. I just mean they're a little bit... and I find Swiss as well. They're very time-orientated, like very worried about the time and meetings and when everything's got to be a certain way. But I've travelled with a lot of... Germans as well, and they're great people. I love them, you know, they're fantastic. God bless them, you know. I mean, Germany, amazing part of the world, but yeah, they're very funny, yeah, very serious, kind of into their thing.
they are
I mean, but that's why they make such good products, isn't it?
Well, it kind of is. They've become that way. I mean, I just think, you know, national characteristics are defined by geography over hundreds and thousands of years. You know, it frames and molds the character and your history. And so here is because of being wrapped, you know, locked in by the sea or being a maritime people. Mind you, the Japanese don't seem to... Actually, the Japanese do have a sense of humor. It's just not funny to anybody else, except the crazy, vicious, bullying Japanese. They're just bizarre. But, you know, it's different. It's very, very different for each thing. But the idea of trying to develop something like this, I don't know how often we want to do... I mean, I think it probably needs to be a weekly if we were going to do it. And to set it at a time that worked for you. So you really need to pick a day because... the later we do it, the better. For you.
Weeknights are fine. So what time is it for you now?
Right. Okay. So right now it's 11:37 in the morning, and for you it's what? Is it 8:37 at night? 37 minutes past eight.
So basically, from about 8:30 or 9, I could push it. Yeah.
So if we were to do a show your time 9 to 11 or 9 till 10 or 9 till 10:30.
Yeah, that's good.
That would be that would work for you, would it?
Yeah. 9 till 10:30 about time. Yeah. I mean, if you did 8:30, then I could do the full 2 hours.
Right, okay. All right. Okay. Fine, because what we can do, what I think would be worth doing is digging up some music. As the intro, I mean, seriously, it needs to. I like to do all this kind of stuff. I think it's really important. The audio glue. We can possibly play music or little breakers and clips at the top of the hour to give ourselves a 5-minute break. That kind of stuff. It just adds to the whole thing. I mean, I'm working with a guy actually down in Australia right now who I've known for a long time. I think he's in Sydney. I can never remember where he is, even though we've been talking for 10 years. I think it's Sydney that he's in, and. He's an ex-music guy. He used to be in the music industry for real, for proper, at a pretty high level, but he's been in computers for the last 24 years. So he was heavily involved with music up until the late 90s. And we're working on trying to develop a radio station that would merge two things together. It would be primarily a music station, so it would be playing bog standard whatever, although we want to get away from modern crap because that's really what most of it is. I think there's probably some tremendous artists out there. It's just that hardly any of us know who they are because they're all buried under this sea of rubbish. But I bet there are some crackers out there because there's just so many people playing stuff. So there's got to be people that are good. And I think the idea was to do that and then mix it in with them. All right. Hang on, just hold the line a second. I've just got to make a call. Hang on.
No worries.
Can you just hold the line? Can you hold the line a second? Yeah.
Good time to... we're recording, aren't we, Paul?
Yeah, hang on, just a sec. I got to take this call. Be with you in a minute. Hi, yeah, you just called me and I missed your call.
Okay. Is it Mr. Hesling?
It is, yes.
Paul Hesling?
Paul Hesling, yes, that's my name.
Yeah. Coincidentally,
yeah. Do you know how happy I am? Do you know how happy I've got to? Let me just share this story. I went there to play golf yesterday. It was a beautiful day. And at the point of purchase, I just couldn't find the bloody thing. And I'm so happy. You've no idea how happy you've made me. Right, what an idiot. But brilliant. Thank you very much. I will call them back and go over and pick it up.
People. Members?
Yes, please.
This is how we roll.
Hang on. Yes, got that.
783.
Yes.
732.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. I'll be going over and sorting that out in about half an hour. Thank you very much. Brilliant. Thank you. Bye-bye. Hello. Still there?
All good, buddy. I'm recording all this.
Did you hear
why? Can I use it or?
You're recording it all?
Well,
why are you recording this?
I do anyway. I just, I record everything. Yeah.
Do you?
Just in case.
Well, you know, I told you I lost my wallet.
Yes.
Well, someone's found it.
I wasn't recording that. I started recording earlier. Yeah,
oh, I'm absolutely overjoyed. I'm absolutely overjoyed.
You stuffed your wallet with money and you've lost it. Yeah. Was that yesterday?
Yeah, but I thought I'd lost it in this shop, and I had. But when I asked the guy, he said, no one's handed it in, but they must have found it somewhere around in the shop, right? And it had about 100 quid in it. Which is, for me, a lot of money. It was just a lot of money. And it's got all my banking cards in, which, of course, I have immediately cancelled. So they'll be useless.
Yeah.
But it also had an American silver dollar in it. And most importantly, it's got one of my wife's old wedding rings, which is her mother's wedding ring. And the reason it's in my wallet is that my wife leaves everything everywhere in the house. She right now, even though my son's with her, she will be moving things and putting them in places that you couldn't possibly believe. Like, so I will find clothes in the food cupboards and things like this. That's what happens, right?
It's like giving little child like a remote control or a phone and they just do things. You're just like, what? How did you get that up?
Yeah, absolutely. So what an arsehole I was yesterday. I'm trying to play golf once a week, and it sounds incredibly sad, right? But I'm trying. I used to play a bit of golf. I'm not good or anything, but on a Thursdays, we started playing with these guys, and they're just good, normal, working British guys. And I couldn't do it for the last 2 years at all because I was just getting used to the idea that my life was different in terms of dealing with cash and everything. And anyway, I decided that I had to do it and get back into it. So what I do is I have to set my week up to make sure that I get Thursday afternoons clear, which means someone covering for me at home. And fortunately, my sons are more than willing and competent in doing that. And it's fantastic. So I set all this up. I'd had a shit week. I thought, great, I'll go out to the golf course. It was a beautiful day. We went to this really fantastic course, which you can't normally get in. And of course, I got there. And as I'm going through it, I've obviously put my wallet down completely. Because I went to buy something, I went, where the bollocks is my money? Just bizarre. Anyway, they found it. Sorry, very, very boring. So I'm very happy. It means I can go and pick it up. What an idiot.
I'm with you, man. I'm actually, I'm terrible with money. And I've actually gone to ATM, automatic teller machines, to withdraw money. And bim, 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 my PIN number, I want to withdraw $50 or $100, whatever it is, blah, 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 and taken my card out and walked off and left the money in the tongue of the machine, you know. I've lost my cards, credit cards, banking cards, you know. I've lost my wallet a few times. I left my wallet around in places because I carry it around with me, and I left it on top of something or somewhere, you know, as well. Today we went up to some markets, and I bought a big box of eggs, and I left it on top of the car. And I'm driving home, and this lady pulled up beside me at the lights, and she's like, "You left the eggs on top of the car." I had to pull over to the side of the road and put the eggs, but they were still there. And
fantastic. Not scrambled then, or about
they
about
weren't
to be scrambled.
They weren't scrambled.
Fantastic.
And my wife actually left her phone on top of the car, and we went driving, and it's flung off, and the guy picked it up and picked up a contact in there and rang them, and they contacted us, and the guy actually dropped it off at our house for us, and I never met him. So yeah, that's Australia for you. Yeah, amazing guy that found the phone. But I leave things all over the place as well. It's amazing, and with money, I'm very funny sometimes. It's not like I don't care. I mean, money's important. I just I'm like that. I leave things around. Sometimes it's almost like I'm hiding things unconsciously, and then I forget where they are as well. There's just so much going on, Paul. So much going on in the world, and you just forget, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm actually not. I'm not normally, as I said, it's the first time I've ever misplaced my wallet in my life.
You're pretty good with your wallet, huh? You when you go out,
I was shocked
in
yesterday.
Bag or in
absolutely
your
shocked.
Or?
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, and I had to walk up to them and said, "What are you doing? Where's your clubs?" I said, "I've got to go." They said, "Oh, don't worry." I said, "No, you don't understand." I said, "If I lose my keys, my phone, or my wallet, I'm just dysfunctional. I am. I absolutely can't. I just that's my entire life in my hand there.
Isn't
right?
it amazing?
So
it's almost like you're losing your soul, isn't it? Because you've lost this.
I do. Yeah, because
your-
I can't. Well, the thing is, I'm the only adult around here now in the family. You know, and my sons are great. They're absolutely fantastic. They're more grown up at 19 than I was, right? They're fantastic with all this kind of stuff, and they're both working and they're really happy. So, you know, if it weren't for my wife, we'd have no money, but really happy, because we don't have much money, right? I just don't have it. So, and it's not even an obsession with me anymore. I just couldn't give a shit about it. I really want the important stuff clearing up, you know? And I don't think we need, it's like we don't need a great deal of money for us to do our job. What it's just a matter of really doing the job better. And I've got so many good people that I know. So I pull all this stuff together. But yeah, if I lose those things, Adam, I literally can't function. I was so distressed yesterday about it. I wanted to literally just drive the car into a tree. I just get, my temper is volcanic. It's absolutely off the charts when
too.
I go. And
yeah,
I don't know what you're, I'm normally really, but when I go, I just want to kill stuff. I mean, literally, it's like I just go into ape man mode and I just can't stop it. And my son goes, "Dad, don't get so mad." I'm going, "This is what I'm like." I said, "I'm not a cool guy." I said, "I don't do cool."
No,
I stopped trying to contain all that years ago. I let it go. So, and I think the older you get, the worse you get. That's because you actually do not give a shit what anybody else thinks. You literally don't. I noticed this. When you're young, you really, really do. And you need to, because you haven't got any. But when you get old and you go, "I ain't got much time left anyway, I don't really care what you think," right? You're going to get it both barrels. And that's what tends to happen. It's not necessarily always that effective. But listen, look. I'm getting quite giddy. So I'm just going to share. These are just a few ideas that I'm bolting together, and I'm hoping that something is going to come together for the autumn. What you're saying about doing a new show is fantastic, right? If we can get the timing right, So I think like 11 till 1, or maybe which is whatever it is your time, you know, which would be 8 till 10 your time or something like that. And listen, if you can't hang around for the whole 2 hours, it's not a problem. But I like the idea of a 2-hour news show. I actually think 3 hours is better. You might think I'm going mad, right? But that might work as well. So let me think about it, because like Dennis Fetcher does a 3-hour show on Saturdays, and it flies by, just 3 hours, because he has a guest hour one, hour two, and hour three, if he can do it, right? Or usually what he'll do is he'll do hour one solo and this, that, and the other. Now, I'm absolutely convinced. David is my mate over in Sydney, right? And we've been talking quite seriously about doing something that's a hybrid. And I'm just going to share this with you up to a point. So what we're trying to do is we want to play music. Now, I don't really want to play music, but I do, because that's the normal audio landscape of a radio station, right? So the idea is to take the basis would be music to start off with, and in terms of paying the royalties and all that, this is a proper deal. This is not ducking and diving and trying to avoid anything like that. This is straight up, right? Royalty fees will be paid. And they're also, just to let you know, even though I don't know the names of any of these people, but we've had general discussions, there are people out there in the world who are on our side, and they're very powerful, actually, and they've got lots of money, and they own big businesses, and they are sick, as we are, about what's happening culturally to the decay, this accelerated, bogus culture that's been injected everywhere. The decay. They're not happy about it. Mm. Yeah, it is. It's forced decay. It's the whole thing. Yeah, it's like, you know, and the toleration, this tolerance of disease is completely not on. You know? I had a discussion with someone last night.
Can you believe, Paul, the Western radio? Like, what's it like in the UK, in Sydney, live radio and what people listen on their way to work in the cars? I just shake my head. I feel really sick in my stomach. I just can't believe it. And there's just all these
people
up there, you know, and it's just rubbish, you know?
But we can beat it. What we've got to do is, I'm absolutely convinced we can beat it, but we have to be really think it through consciously about how to stitch it all together. So if you look at, say, it's interesting, this conversation, really, because we started off talking about podcasts being like 2 hours long and an in-depth focus on things. Now, in this sphere, that's the traditional format, and it works. It's good, but it's not a rapidly expanding marketplace. Because the vast majority of people can barely listen to things for more than 5 minutes. They don't have that level of attention span. There's no point getting angry with them about it or anything. We have to just observe, in my view, just observe what is, what people actually do as opposed to what they say they're going to do, what their actual default behavior patterns are like, what they're really like. And so they are all these people out there are going to be listening to radio and watching TV at some point during today, everybody. And my proposition is, why shouldn't they be listening to us? Right, well, the reason they're not listening to us, they don't know we exist, for a start, really. And the internet, of course, is doing some fantastic things. So this might not work, but the idea is this, that we create an online to start off with, because it's obviously the most cost-effective way of doing this. We build an online radio setup that's more polished than your usual radio offering. By that, I mean it has proper jingles. These are really important things. That it sounds cheesy, like commercial radio. This is conscious. This is not sort of accidental. Right. Consciously make it sound pretty close to the sort of audio furniture that they're used to consuming anyway. And we have music stars, and there would be jocks doing their music stuff. But the difference there would be, in due course, not on day one, but in due course, is to try and identify new artists and people that are of our culture, our heritage, that are doing storytelling, the things that we tap into traditionally, that are providing a more quality and distinctive individual contribution in the realm of music, as opposed to this mass-produced audio porn. That's all it is, it's audio porn.
You're being a racist now, Paul.
Yeah, I know, but that's fine, because I wanted to. We're going to do a show called The Racist, right? Because I want to head it up. And people are always talking to me about racism.
You're offending
one of the things I want to. Yeah, good. Well, I'm here to. I'm not. They can be offended. It's fine. You see, that's the thing. If they go, I'm offended, we go, well, lovely. Okay, be offended. That's fine. What you do is you don't listen to us, right? Don't listen then. offend me. But I can't be bothered to call you up and tell you that you offend me. I'm too busy getting on having a good life. So you be offended and blah, 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 blah. And another aspect of it is to it's like word of the day or word of the week, even. One of those words could be racist. One of those words could be equality. One of those words could – all the charge words, all the words that are weaponized that get people to self-censor, because the people are so terrified of being called a racist. And one of the reasons is that nobody knows what it is. Every time I ask them what it is, no one can give you a clear definition. Oh, it means someone that hates other people. Well, outside of their race. And then you get the conversation going. But most people don't even want to get going on that. So I'd like it to sound like, and we're looking at things like, this is all boring technical stuff, but it's important. When you actually listen to an FM radio, I don't know if you, it leaps out of your speakers in your car system, right? They use all sorts of technologies to put compression and volume into the signal.
That's right.
So that it's, yeah, well, we can do that. I'm playing around with that right now. We can do it on the internet. No one bothers with this stuff because it takes time and some intelligent resources. You go, have you got a studio engineer that really understands waveforms? I actually have got one. that I bumped into, an American guy who was absolutely obsessed with this stuff, right? I'm going, right, all of this has got to be brought together. In other words, if I said to you, Adam, I said, we got £1 million. This is dead serious. You're going to get paid $3,000 a month, right? I need a serious business plan. How are we going to take internet alternative radio and step it out of the internet enclosure? It'll still stay there, but make it push out. What would we have to do? Now, we might not be able to do it, but I just think as a question, it's worth asking, because, look, we can develop an Australian base out of you with communications, right? We can take phone ins. I'm painting a big picture here because I just think we really need to think big. And we've got the whole of the Gab people to start off with. Many of these things are going to fall by the wayside, but I'm just looking at the resources that are available. They're considerable. We've got intelligent people. We've got people like you. We've got Tom Goodrich. We've got, Tom is a brilliant talent spotter. He's always calling me up and going, this radio thing didn't work. He listens to all this stuff. He goes, I can't listen to that. He said, people, I've got time away. And I want to know all this. We could produce a product, if you know what I mean, that could rock, blow people's socks off. I know it.
Thomas Goodrich has a beautiful radio voice as well.
Who does?
Thomas Goodrich has an amazing radio voice, and he won't accept
he's all,
it.
He's all embarrassed and modest, he's fantastic.
He gets embarrassed, and I tell him, Tom, you have the most sexiest voice. You have a great voice for radio. You really do. And no, I don't. And he shies off.
But he's always like that.
He does.
I just tease him all the time about him. I just keep calling him Mr. Goodrich now, and he always laughing because he. I said, "What is it, Tom, Michael? What?" I said, "I'm just going to call you Mr. Goodrich during the broadcast," and I often do, and he ends up laughing. He's fantastic. But yeah. My enthusiasm.
I love the man. I think he's just.
We've got some fabulous. We got the best people we could possibly stand by, metaphorically. I know we're thousands of miles apart, that you're ever going to come across, because every single one has fought their own way to the front. You know, it's not like you get any agreement for this. However, we can create it, and I think. You see, there are so many things going, and yet we've not organized ourselves. And I think it's understandable as well. I'm not blaming anybody. I think if you look at it sort of culturally, you say, well, for the last 20 years or so, there's been a great deal of foul, hidden information that we've all been unearthing, and we've been absorbed by it. And it's correct that we should have been, because we've been integrating it. And the pattern has now emerged, and now there's a consensus, and it's very, very simple, but it's taken a long time to sort of brush all the dirt off of all the lies, take all the lies off it. Now what do we do? Well, I think we need to almost like dumb down the message for a general audience so that they were to, or at least I want to test this. The idea is they tune into a radio thing, and of course, we're worldwide because everybody can stick tune in on their smartphone, connect it to their car. And that's what we would be pushing all the time. We have it's all the in-station adverts, right? The promotion needs to be massive, absolutely massive. If you actually listen to a commercial radio station, the busiest department there will be the jingles department, the station ID department, the programming of all the advertising slots. And I think that advertising on radio is without a doubt the best place advertising has ever occurred. It works. And the reason it works is it's actually, even if you're not listening to the adverts, it's a relief because audio is a very intense thing. We are paying attention to one another fully when we communicate with audio alone because there's nothing else to go on. Mm. You can't get distracted with visuals, right?
So you think visual distracts people, Paul? Like if you're watching
I never use webcams. I hate the bloody things. People go, turn your camera on. I go, I don't even have one. What? You don't have one? I go, well, why do I want to look at you?
Well, there's these stupid people sitting there like talking and they're looking up at the camera and you're looking at them and you're not listening to the message, right?
That's right. That's right. However, that said, if we get develop a field of jocks, I'm all on for these studio webcams running on, well, I'm saying YouTube, but we wouldn't last there, right?
No.
Because people do watch them. So I'm going, okay, if that's what they want, that's fine. Let's do it. And you just use every simple and cheap bell and whistle we can get hold of. But the idea, that's just the idea. The framework is that there would be like one talk show initially a day. It might be from a different host. It might be the same host. It could be just a news rolling program. It could have phone-ins, anything. And it sits in the middle initially of a lot of music. Okay? But it's internally promoted. And when they start listening to what's being discussed, they go, what the bloody hell's this? What are they talking about? That's outrageous. I mean, that's what you want, right? Like punk radio, punk talk radio. Imagine applying the same sort of thing, that suddenly the bridles are off and we're rolling. But not foul language. We're going to be so composed.
Talking about calling people in from the wilderness. That's what you're doing. You're talking about calling people in from way out in the wilderness, from within the trees, calling them into where you are, and you're using this kind of sound as what's mostly going out, but then there's this voice in there that they're attracted to. Because, you know, society has been so manipulated and brainwashed. It's like the layers of an onion, isn't it? And they're so deeply entrenched in this. And so you need to find a way, using modern technology and music, as you said, and everything, to get them into the word, to the sound, through the sound.
Yeah. Like, there's a folk duo. This is just to get, I mean, there's so much flexibility with this. When you actually think about what you can do with audio and how little it costs, it's astonishing.
Yeah, right? I know.
It's astonishing. It's the theater of the mind. Did you know there's never ever been a successful left-wing talk show on radio ever? Because it doesn't work because they've got no sense of humor.
It's like wall.
Absolutely not. Like, have you ever met a liberal with a sense of humor?
Seriously, they don't exist. Personality of wallpaper.
They're absolutely tedious because they're mediocre people. You see, there's something really, when you start talking to them, in my view, and there's a guy called John Marks in the States, done a series of videos, and he's wearing a business suit and a motorbike crash helmet. If you've not come across him, I recommend Stuck In There. The first thing he did was two parts, why liberals, blah, 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 blah. I can't remember. Fantastic. He makes this blindingly useful observation, really, really useful. You know, if you ever end up in a communication with them and they start to get hysterical, don't they? Generally, a lot of the time, they get hysterical. They're out of control. And he's looking at why. I'm paraphrasing very briefly. You need to see the whole thing. Basically, he said, what's occurring is you are in a process, even though they don't consciously know it, and you might not consciously know it, of removing from them their bogus, unearned status. You see, when people cleave to this social justice warrior liberal bullshit, which they do, you immediately know that they haven't thought about things to any depth. The reason they're there is that they're attracted by the emotional proposition that they are somehow now going to stand on ethically and morally higher ground than you and I, you racist Australian. Do you get me? So that's where they think. They go, look, we care about everybody, but you foul white beast, you're only about that. So I'm ethically and morally superior to you. They think this. In fact, it's more than just thinking. It's so entrenched in their bones that it's actually real for them. Now, when you and I come along and start to point out that the vast majority of death and ruin and bloodshed and misery is caused by their side, and has been, because they're going against the laws of nature, is what I would suggest.
That's right.
They throw a hissy fit.
Yeah.
Because these are mediocre people. They really are mediocre. I would imagine most of the people in Antifa are just complete mediocre arseholes. Most of them who can't think are in an emotionally hysterical state because they've swallowed hook, line, and sinker that all the races are supposed to get on. This is the root of it. And we're saying your idea is irrelevant. It's not that it's bad. It's actually irrelevant is your idea. And you, therefore, by nailing your colors to that mess, you also are irrelevant. And it's true, they are irrelevant. Unfortunately, they're a problem because they're trying to impose their will. They're trying to impose man-made arsehole will over nature's laws. And that's really the essence of it, I think.
Well, they're atheists. A lot of them, they do within Australia, they're science skeptics, and they think they can redo nature. They think they're better than nature.
That's right.
And we should all bow down to them. And that's the way that they are. They're arrogant assholes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. It's an interesting thing, though, about atheism, which I heard someone talking about.
They're atheists.
About.
I've met a lot. I've dealt with a lot.
Oh,
of
no, here's a rebuttal. Here's something for you to throw back. Here's something for you to throw back at an atheist, right? You'll find your own way of phrasing it, but I thought this was a brilliant observation, another one. We just pick up stuff from everywhere, don't we? That's our job. And yeah, that is really the job on the radio stuff, is to pick stuff up like a Hoover and present it in a way that's digestible to a greater audience. And it's a massively important role. I think it's probably one of the most important.
Yeah,
you've
got to do it in an original way as well, because, you know, and you can't lose that gut instinct, that natural gut instinct, and you've got to, you know, say what you feel and be natural about it. And, you know, if people, as you said, if people don't want to listen and they don't agree, they don't have to.
That's right. Someone said anyway about atheism, they said, people will tell you that they're atheists. And what he says is, whose laws do you follow? Do you follow the laws of God? And they'll go, well, no, because I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. So you follow the laws of the state then. And if you follow the laws of the state, guess what? The state is your God. It's whose laws you follow.
That's right.
No one's an atheist. Because people are assigning responsibility to a higher power. Now, it's either God or the state. It's either nature as evidence of God's laws, or it's men. Seriously, men? Are you kidding me? But that's what they're doing. And of course, you know, this thing like we were talking about earlier on, that we're all going to shuffle off this mortal coil. When you're young, you never think of that. And rightly so as well. There's nothing wrong with that. It's absolutely you live and think and breathe and draw in breath as if you're going to live forever. And you should. I think you really should. In fact, you do, but not necessarily in the way that you think. Not in this body. Not in this vehicle.
Yeah, you're living eternal.
That's right. This is an eternal proposition, which is – and what's that great – there's a paraphrase on that. I remember reading a quote from someone somewhere that said either – I think it was Carl Sagan. I'm not a big fan, but he said something like, either the universe is full of planets and is teeming with life in all directions almost to infinity, or we are the only life in the whole of this universe on this planet. He said either way – our thoughts are terrifying in a way. I don't think terrifying was the word. You know, they
what do you
get
think
your
their
attention.
Answer is to
it's
that?
True.
What do you think the answer is to that?
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But if you think about, I think it kind of works, you know, either it's one thing or t'other. And it's the thing with live, either this is the only instance of life you get. And when you're dead, you're dead. Right. Ooh. Or this is an installation in an eternal process. And either proposition is equally challenging. They're both challenging. I think, you know, when people say to me, say, no, this is my life, and at the end of it, I'm dead, I'm going, well, you've determined that, so you'll probably get your wish. My view is that it isn't, and that I'm going on to a lot more things. But you're welcome to your choice. I actually think it might come down to that. Literally, well, you decided that you didn't want to live anymore, so we're just accommodating you.
But
that's scary,
how can you be
it?
If you die and that's it, and there's no more, then how can there be a beginning? You know, why were you born? There's a that means that there was a beginning, so that's rolling on from something else. But you do wonder that, Paul, all the time. You know, are we in some kind of simulation or game? Maybe we're testing ourselves as, you know, as advanced souls. We're testing ourselves in this game of life. And when we finished, maybe we're just... you know, it's like that. We don't really know. I mean, but, you know, these propaganda movies always make you believe, like Star Wars and stuff, you know, and so many popular movies throughout human history, that there's all this life teeming out there and all these bizarre creatures out on other planets. But I look up at the stars at night and the moon and everything, and I think it does seem like some kind of simulation or something. But I do feel like we're here to learn, and the only thing I can come up with is we're testing ourselves.
Yeah. Well, there's something – I actually just think we're being grown. But, of course, if you ask me another 4 years' time, I'll have a different way of expressing it, because it just shifts. You know, you were saying there about a game and the Matrix. But you see, these analogies, which is what they are, have only come about because of technological achievements here and now. Back in the 1950s, people didn't think of themselves as analogous to a computer program, because nobody even knew what a computer was in the general population. But as things – you know, they might have thought of themselves as a telephone network, because that's what in front of them. So you use the frame of reference that exists for the day. I just tend to think that if that God wants some mates, and so he's growing them, it just takes an awful long time.
What do you mean by grown?
Well, your soul, I just think we are absorbing experience and maturing in ways that are not necessarily obvious to us on a conscious level. There's a maturation process.
We're learning, wouldn't it? That we're already conscious of who we are. We're just, it's almost like we're setting ourselves, we're casting ourselves out to learn again and to see if we can be, you know, manipulated by these kind of false realities and different systems that are being set up. It's almost like a video game, isn't it? But we do look at technology to, as you said, in the old days there wasn't the computer, there wasn't technology, so people couldn't refer to that. But now we do. We say it's the Matrix, and all of this. So, but it seems something beyond that, doesn't it?
There are. I mean, there are masses of teachings available for people, and it's wading through a lot of stuff that may or may not be right. I honestly think as well that God did not design life that you have to be a rocket scientist to negotiate it. Really, I don't think that. People think, well, we're much, much better than people of the past. I don't think so. No. We might have a lot more technology. We might live longer. But do we live as vibrant and as intense? You see, it seems to me it's the number of realizations that you have. Some people have to live forever because they're so asleep. And other people might just get everything by the time they're 16 and be ready to move on. Because I think this is about the intelligence of the heart and not of the head.
You mean remember? And that's what I think this is. Do you mean that all we need to do is remember who we really are?
Well, I don't know. No, I don't really mean that. I just think, remembering things is a tremendous thing as well. But when you think about it, it's like having a time machine.
It's almost like we're forgetting. Memories. Forgetting, though, isn't it? It's like we're forgetting.
Well, it's interesting, with my wife, she can't remember anything. Kath can't remember anything.
But that's the brain. That's not the consciousness or the...
That's right. But she's still present. She still exists. You see, it's these things. I'm looking at this stuff and all that kind of stuff. But I just think I think it is a growing thing. I think it's about the intelligence of the heart. I think that although it's not deemed to be the right thing that Scripture actually teaches and shows this stuff really clearly, that it's a bit like, and I often try and go back, and I can do it very easily. Remember my disposition to the world when I was a child, and why are we attracted to children and babies in such a, what is that radiant energy that they give off, that you gave off when you were a little one, right? That causes you to be so compellingly attractive. It's because you still have the sheen of heaven about you. There's something going on. Now, I don't think that goes on with other races necessarily. The Bible is a cruel book from a certain perspective. It really is. But the you know, I look at race down here. This is why I think race is such a massive expression of things. So when people get confused and think it's not important, they're really putting themselves and the rest of their kith and kin in tremendous danger, no matter what race you're from. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's a preposterous idea. That people can run around and just mix things up because it feels good. This is just tragically sad. And that's what modern life has become, unfortunately. It's about sort of instantaneous feeling. You know, I want to feel good and I must feel it now. And you've got this sort of
ego-driven
victim culture. Yeah. Yeah. Adam, I've got to go, unfortunately. I've got to, you know, but what I think we should do is, if you want to have a chat next week, I'll knock some notes up. I'm really on for doing this news thing and for structuring it right. And we just need to pick one day of the week. So you tell me which day of the week would work best for you.
Any day.
And I can, any day except Thursday. Thursday, the only day I can't really do anything.
But any day for you because, as I said, with me being in Australia, my best times are at night, which is now, and UK works well, but America kind of fits into that. Some American guests I have to do in my morning, so I just have to work it out on their time zone and where they are. But where you are around lunchtime, sort of 11:30 lunchtime, I can do that till 10:30, even 11 o'clock at night. I can do it to do it once a week or whatever. I can do it to a bit later even, so I can stretch that. That's fine. Yeah, because it's a good time for me.
All right.
And I'm thinking, thinking cap on and I'm online anyway, updating my website and everything. Yeah.
No, it could be really. Let's just. That's fine. Let's do that. I'll come back to you then with some suggestions on times and slots, and if we and then try to pack a few things together, and it could lead on to stuff, and we could promote it over the Radio Gab group. I just want to use that as a big open communications thing. If it takes off, you see, half the guys that produce things, they're so dope. They're really dopey on marketing, and honestly, I'm not having to go at anybody here, but it's simple observation. There's just not enough awareness created of this great stuff that's going on. And that's the key thing. Everybody does the show. I'm not saying you do, because you're getting lots of traffic on your site. But with many of the people I work with, older in the, they do the show and they think that's it. I'm going, no, it's nowhere near enough. People don't even know you're doing this. And you're still talking to the same people you've been talking to for 20 years. And that might be okay for you, but it's not okay for me. I came across a great quote the other day that quantity has its own unique quality. And I'm into the numbers game, Adam. I think we should be getting tens of thousands of live listeners and hundreds of thousands of podcasts, if not millions a week, right? And we have to build that. And the reason is that, like I said earlier, those people are going to be listening to and viewing something today. Why not us? Why not us? We've got more to say to them if we find a more amenable way of saying it to the neophyte. And it's a bit, you know, if you look at a schedule on a TV station, you don't do heavy, intense documentaries in the morning slot or in the afternoon when it's watched with mother. You don't do that. There's a sensible reason for it, because that's not your viewing audience. And it's a bit like our listening audience. You want some simple stuff in the bulk of the day. And it could be that as you go through to night shows, you can get to more intense and meaty material, right? Why not? And then people can always pick it up on the podcast and listen to it, you know, on the tube the next day as they're going to work, you know, in the privacy. So we just need to build a – I want to build a better team. I'm really – or I want to be part of one.
Yeah, and see what we can do. It's interesting, Paul, because, I know you would agree with that, that there's you, there's people like me, there's guys like Thomas Goodridge, there's people doing alternative media and podcasting all over the world and different things, and we're all doing fantastic work, but wouldn't it be good to kind of funnel us all into this one area – you know, and as you're saying,
a central watering hole.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean
that a really good one,
and it doesn't mean people have to stop what they're doing. They still continue what they're doing. It's just that, you know, I say for me on a Wednesday night, or you on another night, another people on another night, they plug into this hive mind, and we grow together to get this system out. That's what it's about, because that's the way it is with the mainstream media, isn't it, Paul? You look at that Rupert Murdoch and Fox News and everything. They've got the power, and they're on TV and they're on radio every single day.
Whilst you and I are doing this,
it's very hard.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it is. But we can basically
we're separated. We're fractured.
That's right. Mm. And we need to, that's got to stop, or we've got to find a way around it. And it requires discipline. But I know that it's really simple. When you're involved with something that's growing, your energy increases effortlessly to go with it. When you're involved with something that's not growing, it's a slog. It's really, really irritating. You have to find ways. So the idea is to be really clear. And I keep on saying to people, I say, look, all of us in this arena are very, very clear about what we don't like. Because that's what most of the things that we're talking about are, analyses of these foul, stupid, hideous, dense, damaging things that are being done to us by people who hate our guts and want us dead. So we're clear about that. Unfortunately, that just doesn't travel well outside of our circles, because most of the people involved in this fail often to recognize the sort of person that they are, which is an independent, inquiring thinker, and we're in the minority. So the next challenge is, how do you take that and send it out to everybody else? Well, most people respond to a positive, and we have to find a way, and there is a way, this is not difficult really, of creating a sense of energy and positivity around what we do that makes us smell, feel, and are winners. People want to be with winners. Well, we have to become those winners in the way that we put sentences together, the sounds of our voice, the happiness that we project, our laughter and ridicule at the enemy, everything, right? So they go, have you tuned into this? No, these guys are like on fire. It's fantastic, right? That's what you want. That's what makes it grow. Then we go, we've hit the nerve. It's a very subtle thing that we're looking to address, but it's there and the knowledge exists. We've got to harness it a little bit more effectively, I feel. And I think we can. I think we can. So you, if it ended up being called Radio Gab, I've got another one, another couple of domains that I've set up, which is a more, it's a broader church, as it were, of communication. Eurofoot Radio is great, but the people that listen to it are old and do not expand the audience. It's no good to me. I'm not against Eurofoot Radio, but it's not my goal. And I've said to people, I said, if you don't know what your goal is, you're never going to know if you've achieved it. I said, I want us to be involved with an audience where within a couple of years, we're doing shows and we're getting hundreds of thousands of downloads of that show, if not millions. Why not? We've got 1,000 million white people left on the earth. If we don't hurry up, it's going to be 500 million in another 25 years. And after that, there'll be none of us left, right? So I would suggest we need to strike now. We need to really get our act together. Sure. And let's say we are building. You just wing it. You basically blag it, as we say. You say, yeah, we're going to build an audience base of nearly 500,000 listeners. We go, no, you're not. I'm going, watch. Just tell them that you are. It doesn't matter if we fail. I can care less. People go, what, really? If you put big numbers out there, you say, oh, yeah, we're going to build this audio plan. We're looking to try and get 50 listeners. No one's interested. If you say, no, we're targeting 500,000 within 2 years. Imagine if we could get, you know, if you get 5% of the Gab audience or the Gab platform, that'd be 50,000 listeners. That's huge, right? I remember looking at Alex Jones, who's only getting, he was the biggest guy on Shoutcast. He'd get 8,000 or 9,000. Why can't we get 90,000? I've got my network guy, because he's got a lot of capacity for stuff and develops cryptography stuff. I was speaking to him the other day. I said, what about video? He said, no, he's got a video system there that he can switch on that would stream live to 500,000 people in full HD now. So you want to do a T, you got 500,000, no lag, nothing. Right. So all this stuff exists. We've never had it before. We've got to use it. So look, I'm acting like a salesman, but it's not bad. I've got to go, Adam, because it's just going up to 12:30 here, and I've got to go. Let's talk again next week and flesh this out, and hopefully within a couple of weeks we can do the first edition of this show and come up with a snappy title for it or something like that, and work something out. But that's right. That could be great. It could be really, really good. Yeah. I'd call it something, you know, it'd be like a lunchtime show over here, but for you, it'd be a nighttime show. But as I said, we can take calls in from the UK, the US, Australia, Canada. I've got about 10 numbers. And the idea is just to publicize these things and do a jingle that promotes it throughout the show. You want to call in, listen, call, blah, 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 blah. Full set of numbers around the world here. Go to this page. It's all there, you know. And it'll slowly pick up and people will start to call in. That'd be fantastic.
I think
great fun.
Aren't we really changing the game?
Well, I don't know. We are if we do.
I think we're changing the game.
Well, I'm not saying anything that no one else has said before.
Well,
but
game
it's a
is sporting.
Doing
it hooks people, yeah. But we're changing the game.
Yeah. I mean, why? For example,
life is a game. See, we're changing it.
It is. We were going to play a bigger game. Why can't we have a sports desk? You see, I've always wanted to do a sports report on English football that goes something like this. It'd be the same every day. A lot of football matches were played in England. Some teams won, some lost, and some of the matches were draws. It will be the same next week, just as it was the week before. We'll be back again next week with more football reports, right? Well, I mean, there's ways of taking the piss out of our culture because it's all
right.
Meaningless.
I could do a rugby league. I could do a rugby league sports desk in Australia, and I could say, well, we've just got a bunch of overpaid rapists running around kicking us a ball around.
You can say that, yeah. We might.
They're overpaid rapists.
Do all sorts of stuff. Today, a man threw a ball at another man with a bat, and he hit it.
Society
more of that tomorrow.
Yeah, society looks up at these aggressive, tattooed rapists.
Yeah,
who kick a ball around?
Yeah, the whole thing.
And this is great. Yeah, there's your sports report.
We can unleash if we get it right. We can unleash, and seriously, there's the potential, if it goes into the phase that I've talked about with David, there's the potential even these people, you see, can't step forward and occupy positions that you and I do because it would damage their business. Well, I don't blame them, right? They should. What's the point? I don't have any power to persuade them otherwise. But they are hacked off, and they would put resources behind units that are going to champion the sorts of communication that the pushback.
They're owned. Yeah. We're not owned.
We're not owned.
No. And that's what gives us
on a financial scale, We conform to that dictum, do we not? That we all started off with nothing, and we've still got most of it left.
We've got nothing.
This makes you this makes you unbribable. Adam, I've got to go.
Buddy.
I'm going to talk to you forever. I will be talking to you next week. I'll come back to you. Look out for some notes from me. I'll ping it over on Skype.
I'll
set out some dates and some time frames. Yeah. And let's look at a new show, once a week new show for a couple of hours.
Let's change the game.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We could get guests on. They could come in for 10 minutes and think, yeah, right, we're finished with you now. Bugger off. Lively and fun and cheeky, all that kind of stuff.
I can get a lot of people as well. Just my general guests and a lot of great people on and a lot of great thinkers in Australia as well. Yeah.
Fantastic. Absolutely. Brilliant. Gives people a different
perspective as well, what's happening in Australia and, of course, the UK and America. We connect the dots.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, super.
Keep me posted,
buddy. Have a nice weekend.
Same to
you.
Yeah,
I will. Absolutely. I'll be in touch next week.
Don't lose your wallet.
I'm off to go and pick it up night. I'm so excited. Fantastic. So I hope they've not spent all the money out of it. It'll be severe.
I was going to say, Paul, you love the golf courses in Australia. You know, you're pretty much playing golf in the forest. It's great. There's so many.
There's so many.
People don't really care, but I think, wow, sometimes I've seen the golf courses around where I live. I'm like, wow, they're amazing. Anyway, yeah. Okay.
Cool. You have a good weekend. I'll catch you real soon.
See you,
thanks,
buddy.
Adam. Bye for now. Bye-bye.